Hey, how many of you guys love college football? Give me, yes? All right. Favorite team, University of Michigan, the Wolverines. Hey. It's been hard. It's been hard to be a Wolverine fan the last 3 years. But guess what? There's a new sheriff in town. Brady Hoke is going to bring the glory back to the big house. Okay. Michigan may be my favorite team. Favorite team for me to watch, by far, the Ducks of the University of Oregon. Aren't they cool? Okay, I like them. Hey, not only do they have the funkiest uniforms around, but they have the fastest scoring offense in the country. I don't know if you've ever watched them. I read somewhere that the average time for them to call a play, an offensive play, and execute it is something like 13 seconds. That's amazing. And one of the ways that they even called the plays faster this year, they devised something called a sideline play card. Have you seen these? Where they'll, on the sideline, they'll show this card to the offense with different symbols and pictures and words on it, which then the offense all see that card, which is offensive play, and it gets them on the same page as fast as they can so they can run the play quickly. This semester in chapel and at the gatherings, we've been looking at the book of Colossians. And to get us on the same page contextually as fast as we can, I've devised my own Colossians play card. Do you want to see it? All right. I did this one. All right, now. Okay, work with me. Okay, now. First of all, hey, you gotta focus. First of all, Colossians is not a book. Colossians is a letter from the apostle. Oh yeah, get on some of that. All right. From the apostle Paul, who is in, probably in Ephesus, who is writing the letter to the Colossian Christians. Sorry, that's not what they look like. But the Colossian Christians in the surrounding area, work with me, because I'm going to have you repeat this back to me, who are under the influence and the rule of the Roman Empire. Oh, you're working with me. Who the prevailing message of the Roman Empire at that time was, Caesar is God. So let's practice that again. So we're all in the same context of Colossians. So Colossians is a from the Apostle Paul, who is in, and he's writing to, okay, that's pretty good, who are under the influence and rule of, where the prevailing message was, way to go. Now listen, when I preach anytime this semester, I'm going to use this play card to get us on the same page contextually as fast as we can. If Trig and Kate want to use it, I'll allow them for a certain price. They can use it. So that gets us on the same page. So with that, hear our text today from Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, the word of the Lord. Paul writes, in our prayers for you, we always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you. And just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it is bearing fruit among yourselves since the first day you heard it and have fully comprehended the grace of God. This is the word of the Lord. All right, so you got the context. Paul, who is in jail. You're working with me. Paul, who is in jail, gets word that the message, the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, has now been proclaimed to the Roman city of Colossae. And this message regarding Jesus as Lord and Savior of the whole world is not only radical, but it's dangerous. Because to proclaim anyone else but Caesar as God could quickly land you in jail or on death row, as the Apostle Paul knows so very well. So, Paul, who is in, you're working with me, encourages these new believers in Colossae with a letter. He wants their newfound allegiance in Jesus to stick. So he opens his letter by building on two qualities that he has already heard are taking place within the Christian community at Colossae. And here's the two things he wants to build on. He has heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and the love that they have for all the saints. So what does Paul want to tell the Colossians, as well as us today, about faith and love? Let's take a closer look. First, Paul says, "We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." Now, both the Greek and Hebrew word for faith in this text implies not just believing in something mentally, but it also contains the idea of an active trust. You see, for many of us in the Western culture, we have reduced faith solely to the capacity of belief, a mental capacity. But for Middle Easterners, faith means belief with obedience. Now, let me share a quick story that will really highlight the difference. In 1859, there was a famous French tightrope walker by the name of Charles Blondin. And Blondin announced one day that he was going to come to America and do something that no one had ever done before. He was going to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. So, of course, you know the news spread like wildfire. So Blondin comes to the United States, and on the day that he announces he's going to do this feat, he sets up his tightrope, which is about a quarter of a mile over Niagara Falls, 160 feet in the air, and 10,000 people came out to see Blondin that day. This is in 1859. So Blondin gets up, and he gets on the tightrope, and he inches his way over the next few hours across Niagara Falls. You can imagine the crowd goes crazy. They begin to chant his name, Blondin. Come on, Blondin, Blondin. Okay, good. He hushes the crowd. He says, "How many of you believe that I can walk back across?" They say, "Blondin, we believe." So he takes, and he steps it up, and he takes a wheelbarrow and walks across tightrope with a wheelbarrow. Crowd goes crazy. They begin to chant his name, Blondin. They were a little louder than that. So he hushes the crowd. He says, "How many believe that I can walk back across the falls blindfolded?" All in one voice, they say, "We believe, we believe, we believe." He hushes the crowd. He says, "How many believe that I can do it with somebody on my back?" The crowd in one voice with passion says, "We believe, we believe, we believe." He hushes the crowd. He says, "Who will that person be?" Dead silence. Till one person stepped forward and put his life in the life of Blondin. And over the next several hours, blindfolded on a tightrope with this man on his back, crosses Niagara Falls. Now, do you see the difference? The difference is blatantly clear. 10,000 people believed that day, but only one person put their belief in action. That's the type of faith that the Apostle Paul is calling the Colossians to live out in their life. It's a courageous faith. It's a faith that will stand up against the Roman Empire, the influences and the pressures and the power of the Roman Empire. And what was true 2,000 years ago is true for us today. We need to have this kind of active, obedient faith in Christ Jesus if we are going to stand against the prevailing powers of the empire of our day, the empire of affluence, the empire of consumerism that Kate talked about on Monday in chapel. That's the first thing that the Apostle Paul wants to build on, their faith in Christ Jesus. Here's the second. the love that they have for all the saints. Now, the Greek word for love here is agape. And agape means a deep, respectful love towards somebody else. It's a benevolent love. It's a love that conspires the best in the other to do them no harm. And Paul encourages the Colossians to live out this kind of love towards each other. And he's very clear when he says, and to do that to all the saints. He was very clear, all the saints, not just some of the saints, not just the saints who have the same skin color as you do, not just some of the saints who have the same cultural ethnicity as you do, not just some of the saints who have the same political view or sexual orientation. Paul is very clear, all the saints. For Paul understands that all of humanity carries the image of God. And so to value the creation is to value and honor God, the Creator. And the opposite is true as well, too. When we insult, when we mistreat, when we demean, when we stereotype another person, we not only harm that person, but we insult God, the Creator, who made them. Therefore, listen to this carefully. Therefore, when you call someone a faggot, or when you use the N-word, or when you call somebody white trash, or when you call somebody a spick or a bitch, you're not only doing harm to your fellow human being, you're insulting God himself. And when you gossip, when you slander, when you tell racist jokes out of ignorance or insecurity, you not only do harm to your fellow human being, you insult the God who made them. Racist, belittling, insulting language and action have no place in the Christian community. And to encourage it, to allow it, or to remain silent about it is a sin that needs to be confessed and repented of, not only individually, but as a corporate community. Most of you know by now that this past Wednesday, there was some flyers that were hung on campus which were a direct and intentional target against people of color. And even though it was directed at people of color, it should be and is offensive to all of us. Therefore, as an entire campus community, we need to own it, we need to repent of it, and we need to stand in unity actively against it. And when we do that, listen to me, and when we do that, we are living out the kind of faith of all the saints that the Apostle Paul calls us to in our text today. Paul later goes on in this letter, and he minces no words when he writes this. But now you must get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices, and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the Creator. In this renewal, there is no longer Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all, and listen to this, and in all. Allegiance to Jesus, rather than to the empire and culture around us, is subversive and hard work, which takes an ever-increasing faith in Christ Jesus and an ever-expanding love for each other. I wonder if I could devise a cool play card for that. But more than that, I wonder if we can cultivate a community like that here at Hope College. I think so. And by God's grace, I know we can. Let's pray. Bless you, God, for your word that encourages, that corrects, and that convicts. We thank you for the word today that you have brought to us. And God, we do want to be a Christian community that follows you and give our allegiance to you versus all the cultural influences and pressures of our day. We do want to live out the prayer that says, and may your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth, even at Hope College, as it is in heaven. We can't do that, but you can. Let it be. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.